ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः ज्ञानकर्मसन्न्यासयोगो नाम चतुर्थोऽध्यायः सो इन् दिस् ज्ञानकर्मसन्न्यासयोग दिस् फोर्थ् चाप्टर् द टैटल् ज्ञानकर्मसन्न्यासयोगः We are going to understand that jnanam is the real renunciation. Knowledge is renunciation. Why? Because renunciation, even though literally it means giving up, really speaking, we are not going to give up anything. Nothing can be given up by us. Which means in jnanam, we do not give up anything. We will be given up by everything which is holding on to us. We will be given up by things which are holding on to us. So when we are held by emotionally, not physically, emotionally we are held by many things. Jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety. There are notions. And so we will be freed from the hold of all that which which holds on to us, which are holding on to us. So, and being free from the hold of the wrong notions we have about ourselves and the world, being free from the hold of emotions is in fact freedom. And freedom is renunciation. It is not the non-performance of actions, nor is it depriving oneself of the enjoyment of pleasures. Simply mechanically depriving oneself of the enjoyment of pleasures does not make a person a sannyasi. Simply giving up performance of actions does not make a person sannyasi. the real sannyasaha, the actual sannyasaha is in jnanam. So whoever is wise is really a sannyasi, because he is no more held. He has been given up by all those emotions, etc., which are holding on to him. And even though there's a lifestyle called sannyasa lifestyle, which again is not in what we give up. It is where your mind is, that makes you a sannyasi. If you're all the time conscious of what, all the time your mind is dwelling upon the teaching of the Shastram, if all the time your attention is in inquiring into the nature of the reality, all the time my attention is in, you know, what you are, what the world is essentially, you entertain a contemplative disposition of the mind and you're contemplative upon the truth, which you have understood through Shravanam and Mananam, then there is a sannyasa. So giving up actions does not make one a sannyasi at all. This is the fact which you understood, and we're going to see today the verse number, let us read 26 again before we move on to the 27. And then how the 24th verse we saw, the yajna. In fact, jnana yajna. Knowledge itself, even the worship of the Lord, should culminate in the vision of the truth obtaining as our own real nature. Therefore, it is said, even the attainment of knowledge is a yajna, exalted of the worship, all forms of worship. What is the most exalted of all forms of worship? Attainment of knowledge is the most exalted form of worship. And in that worship, in terms of the attainment of knowledge, the knowledge of the truth, Brahman, is the fire. And into that fire, we offer our ahankara, which means our ahankara is as the offered, and which is the yajna ritual, yajna. And so not only the performance of fire rituals, a ritual, so every discipline practiced with the purushartha nichaya also becomes the ritual, yajna. So worship is a yajna. It's not a physical ritual, but it is a worship. So that way we saw last class, I'm reading from 25th. Daiva meva pare yajnam yoginav pariyupasate brahma gnava pare yajnam yajnenaivo pajuhvati. Shrotradinindriyanyanye sayamagnishu juhvati shabdadin vishayananye indriyagnishu juhvati. Remember, this also we have seen, but I'll briefly tell you before I move on to the other verse. Juhvati is a simple third person singular present tense verb. Juhvati. Juhvati. Juhoti. We have another verb also, juhoti. And this is juhvati. Juhvati means offer. Offer. Juhoti. Juhvati. Offer. And here it is said, having discussed, mentioned the previous verse, how the exalted form of worship is the knowledge, attainment of the knowledge in which one offers oneself into the fire of knowledge of the truth. So really, the knowledge of the truth is likened to a fire, and into which one offers oneself means what? Offering one's own self means seeing the fact clearly, doubtlessly, that I, the self, am the reality. The reality of the whole. Aham Brahma Asmi. When you see this fact that Aham Brahma Asmi, I the self, truth, I the self am Brahman, the truth of the whole. Therefore, I am the whole. I am non-separate from the whole. And seeing the fact of oneself being non-separate from the truth, thereby seeing oneself being non-separate from the whole, is actually cognitively resolving one's individuality in totality. Is cognitively offering one's cognitively resolving one's essence in consciousness. It's like resolving the wave form in H2O. When wave is water, we are cognitively resolving the wave form and the wave in the water. Similarly, when you say, I the self am the truth, I am the whole, we are resolving the essence in pure, abstract, formless reality in consciousness. Before the knowledge, we had essence strongly rooted in this grossest physical body. And not only that, in given context, we have essence in the waking state, we have essence in the mind, essence in emotions, we have essence in the pranas, we have essence in the intellect. So essence is all over, scattered in ignorance. It means I is identified with everything. But after analysis, after going through all the prakriyas, after having clearly understood, after having shifted the essence from the body, mind, and complex, and we clearly understand there is no essence which exists outside of the pure, abstract, formless reality, the pure consciousness. Therefore, I, the self, am the abstract, formless, all-pervasive, only reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness. You see, this essence is resolved in consciousness. The essence is resolved in consciousness. We also see that there's no individual, and the individuality is resolved in totality. And this, having resolved the essence in consciousness cognitively, thereby resolving the individuality in totality, is actually offering one's own self to Bhagavan. An offering of the offerer. Offering one's own self to Bhagavan means offering one's own self unto the fire of knowledge of Brahman, which is the exalted form of worship, which is Jnanam. We have seen that. And before that we said, Karma Yogis perform rituals for the Arthakama Dharmas, but they perform rituals also for Antakarna Shuddhi and Naishchalyam in order to become qualified for Jnanam. Whereas they who are mature, who are totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and who have withdrawn to the exclusion of everything else, sannyasis. And they, as a result of Shravanam, Mananam and Vidhyasanam, when they have a clear vision and they offer themselves unto the fire of knowledge of Brahman. We saw this in the previous class. Then, now we saw also Juhvati, other people who are given to the practice of different disciplines. Why are they given to the practice of different disciplines? Because they have Purusharthanischeha and they're committed to the pursuit of knowledge. They know the value of knowledge and they know it is very important for them to prepare their mind for Jnanam. And in order to prepare their mind for Jnanam, in order to become qualified for Jnanam, and they practice all other disciplines. So when a person practices any discipline with the Purusharth Nischeha, and a practice of any discipline becomes a worship. So with the Purusharthan Ischeha, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, to prepare the mind for knowledge, with proper attitude, when you perform anything, everything you do becomes worship. Worship, not only worship, even any other activities you do, every action becomes a worship. So in living a life of karma yoga, the karma, every action you do becomes a worship. This is the secret of converting one's action into worship. You do the same action, but it is an action, it can be called a worship. When can you call an action? When can you call an action worship? Any action, anything and everything you do becomes worship if it is a yoga. If it becomes a yoga. If it becomes yoga means what? If it becomes a preparatory discipline. How can it become a preparatory discipline? If it contributes for preparing your mind for knowledge. How can an action performed contribute for the preparation of the mind for knowledge? If you perform anything with the Purusharthanischeha, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the value of knowledge, with a serious interest, I had to get this vision, I had to get this wisdom, I want this wisdom, with a seriousness, with seriously, and in order to get this jnanam, and then consciously working hard to prepare mind for jnanam. Doesn't matter when the knowledge is going to happen, but I do all my best to prepare my mind for jnanam. With this understanding, when a person practices, does anything, for antahkarna shuddhihi, of course I do everything for the results. I eat to appease my hunger, but still I eat also for preparing my mind for jnanam. I drink to quench my thirst, but I also do it for preparing my mind for jnanam. So I do everything for a given result, for living this life. At the same time, ultimately what I want through action is mental preparation. So antahkarana shuddhi becomes very important along with other results you wanted in life. Then every action you do become a yoga. Then you can call it worship. Now here, even the disciplines practiced also become yoga, worship, when you do it with the proper attitude for preparing your mind for jnanam with the Purusharth Nischaya. So here it is said, even Shrotradini Indriyani Sanyama Agneshu Juhvati Anye. Now he moves on from sannyasis and karma yogis, and he just generally talks about the people who are given to the practice of different disciplines to prepare their mind for jnanam. So what do other people do? Some other people do. Anye shrotradini indriyani juhvati. Other people offer all their sense powers. Sense powers like what? Like power of hearing, etc. Shrotra adini. We have five sense powers. They offer all their powers into the fire of Sanyama Agnihi. What is the fire here? Not literal physical fire. They offer into the fire of Sanyamaha. It means mastery over the sense organs. So, having mastery over the sense organs is called Dhamaha, which is one of the important sixfold disciplines. In Tattva Bodha, you would have learned. What is that six disciplines you learned? Shamaha, Dhamaha, Uparamaha, Tiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. Do you remember all the six? Don't remember, doesn't matter. Don't worry, Tristan, I'll teach you, okay? Shamaha, Dhamaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. We have these disciplines. And Shamaha, Dhamaha are masculine gender words. Now because of Sanskrit class, I have to remind you every class and the grammatical information also. What are the feminine gender words? Shantihi is equal to Shamaha. Dantihi is equal to Dhamaha. Shantihi, Dantihi, feminine gender words. Shamaha, Dhamaha, masculine gender words. And the Shamaha is a mastery over sense organs. Sorry, Dhamaha, mastery over sense organs. And the mastery over the mind is Shamaha. And even practicing these two disciplines is what? Is also a type of worship. Because when you're committed to the pursuit of the knowledge, when you know the value of the knowledge, and moksha is the ultimate goal, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is, knowledge of the truth is actually commitment to Bhagavan. For us, the truth and the Lord are not two different things. I am committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth. I live my life ultimately to discover the truth. Of course, ultimately what I want is not the knowledge of the truth. What I want is my moksha. That is fact. But still, I live my life. Of course, I enjoy everything I do. Whatever I do, ultimately, what I'm living this life is for discovering the truth, for knowledge of the truth. Means I'm living this life ultimately for knowing Bhagavan. So knowledge of the truth implies what? Bhagavan. The life is lived for discovering Bhagavan. For this Bhagavan, then everything you do becomes worship. This is the secret. So here, okay, the Sanyamaha. Shabdadin Vishayananye Indriyagnishu Juhvati. And next he said, Anye, other, offer. What do they offer? Sense objects. The first line, sense powers, sense organs are offered, oblations. The second line, sense objects are oblations. In the first line, the instruments of perception, instruments of knowledge are the oblations. The second line, the objects of perception, objects of enjoyment are the oblations. and these instruments of perception, instruments of knowledge, which is powers are offered into the fire of mastery over sense organs. Sanyamaha, it said. And the objects of perception, objects of enjoyment, are the oblations offered into the fire of sense organs. So, in this 26th verse, two yajnas. Earlier we have seen two yajnas in the 25th verse. And here, the offering of oblations unto the devatas, offering of one's own self, we have seen two yajnas, two offerings, two worships, and two form, okay? And here, another two worships, two yajnas are mentioned in this verse. So, the first line of the verse, the 26th verse, discusses discipline, sensory discipline. So, disciplining the sense organs, having mastery over the sense organs, is known as Indriya Sanyamaha. I'll ask next class in Sanskrit class. Indriya Sanyamaha Kaha. Indriya Sanyamaha Kaha is the question word. Okay. What is mastery over sense organs? You can say sensory, Indriya Sanyamaha means mastery over sense organs. And it is this Indriya Sanyamaha is also said to be Dantihi. Otherwise, Damaha. We have to be very careful. There is no real fire here. Like in performing a fire ritual, we really kindle fire. But in this ritual, in this act of offering, in this performance of a fire ritual, here there's no real fire and there's no real oblations which are physically offered, but it is just the mastery over sense organs. So having mastery over sense organs, I'm carefully avoiding the word control. Be careful. Indriya Sanyamaha means everywhere people translate it as control, sense control. No, I'm carefully avoiding that sound. Hope you are following me correctly. Mastery over sense organs means mastery or sense organs should not be mistaken for suppressing of the sense organs. It is not suppressing the sense organs. It is not undoing. It is not controlling the sense organs. It is neither control nor suppression. Okay. Shastram does not recommend suppressing anything. Suppressing will result in a big problem. Suppressing sense organs is also as good as indulgence of the sense organs, indulging the sense organs. So indulgence, suppressing is as good as indulgence. So, what is discussed? What is said to be mastery or the sense organs is we ourselves make efforts to have mastery. We are not doing it being compelled by others. And here it is offered, these sense powers are offered into the fire of mastery over the sense organs. Dhamaha means we use it appropriately. We use the sense organs appropriately. We don't abuse them. Okay? Because we have will, we can abuse, we can use, we can overuse, we can unuse. But we'll make the best use of the sense organs given to us to enjoy the world, to prepare our mind, to do our duties, ultimately for jnanam. If we make the proper, appropriate use of sense organs, then we call it a discipline. The next discipline here is mastery over the sense organs. She then offering the sense organs, the instruments of organ, perception, or the oblations, and which are offered into the fire of sense organs. We can say the enjoyment, objects of enjoyment. Bhogya Vishaya Yajnaha. Bhogya Vishayanam. Bhogya Vishayajnaha means, the Bhogya Vishaya means the objects of enjoyment are offered unto the fire of sense organs. Which means, even though there's so many varieties of objects available for us to enjoy, and we only take in what is good for us, what is anything and everything which will distract me from my commitment, my pursuit of knowledge, I refrain myself from. This is having mastery over one's sense objects. So I do not enjoy any object I like whenever I want. So even if I like some object, whether I like it or don't like it, and then I use everything in moderation, what is good for my mind and sense organs, mind and body. I don't enjoy everything that I want to enjoy. Which means because I'm very conscious of preparing my mind for jnanam. Therefore, this is, actually I'm not taking too long here. We've already seen this. This is mastery over the sense objects. Which means sense objects are offered, oblations offered into the fire of sense organs. Now, we move on to the next verse. Sarvanendriya karmani prana karmani chapare. Sarvanendriya karmani prana karmani chapare. Atma sanyama yogagno Juhvati jnana deepite. Sarvanendriya karmani prana karmani chapare. Atma sanyama yogagno ಜುಹ್ವತಿ ಜ್ಞಾನ ದೀಪಿತೆ. So in all these yajnas, in all these different types of yajnas discussed here, the most important factor is the attitude. So attitude means what? The attitude of offering everything to Bhagavan. How can you offer everything to Bhagavan? It means when I live my life, clearly that I am living this life ultimately for discovering the truth, which is Bhagavan. Means everything becomes offered to Bhagavan. And here, Bhagavan for us is not a form. The whole cosmos is appearance of Bhagavan, and the Bhagavan in the form of whole cosmos is essentially nothing but formless, abstract, all-pervasive, pure knowledge, pure consciousness. And that Bhagavan, essentially pure consciousness, who alone is in the form of the whole universe, is there as my real nature. Is there as my real nature means, before discovering, what do we say? Bhagavan is there in me. Bhagavan is there in me means what? Bhagavan is me. That is the ultimate vision. I am Bhagavan is ultimate vision. But until then, how do you see? The all-pervasive Bhagavan is in me, is there as myself. And as there as myself means, in what form does Bhagavan obtain? Bhagavan obtains as myself in the form of pure consciousness. The all, Bhagavan the whole, obtains as myself in the form of my real self, my real nature, as pure consciousness. In the form of pure consciousness. Therefore, and here I am offering. When I am offering, and who is the receiver? Bhagavan obtaining as myself, in the form of pure consciousness, is the receiver. If the Bhagavan is not the receiver, there is no receiver other than Bhagavan. Okay, I am offering, I am the offerer, and the one who receives what is offered by me is none other than Bhagavan obtaining as myself. Okay, the offerer, I am the offerer, and the one who receives is Bhagavan, and the receiver, Bhagavan, the receiver is Bhagavan, the receiver Bhagavan is not far away from me. The receiver Bhagavan, the whole, is obtaining in every being, thereby obtaining in myself, as myself, in the form of pure consciousness. Therefore, when this shabda, when we offer the object called sound, okay, and it is an attitude. I offer all the sounds I hear in the world. Whatever sound I hear, whatever words I hear, any sound, a meaningful sound in terms of words, a meaningless sound, any sound I hear, you know, is what? Through my power of hearing, through the ears. And that sound I offer means what? When sound, no, when sound is offered, and sound is offered means any offering is what? Sound, shabdaha, the sound is offered unto Bhagavan in the form of consciousness as myself. When the word heard from outside, it offered, it reaches the mind, and there what happens? The knowledge rises. As what? Shabda jnanam. When the perception of a given object takes place, the perception of given object results in the knowledge of that given object. When I hear M.S. Subbulakshmi singing a song, or I sing some other Western musician sing a song, if I know, oh, then that goes in and the knowledge rises, this is M.S.'s voice. This is Bhimsen Joshi's voice. This is our Matthew's voice. Or the knowledge rises. There is knowledge of the word rises. Shabda jnanam takes place when the sound is perceived and the sound is now perceived and there rises knowledge in the mind. So means who? Therefore the receiver, there's no receiver other than myself. The sound is heard means the sound heard is offering and the receiver of the sound is myself. Ultimately, I am, then what happens? Then it's offered unto myself means offered unto Bhagavan in the home of consciousness as myself. Thereby there happens knowledge of the sound. Shabda jnanam. Similarly, you can take now every sense power, through every sense power, any sense object is offered unto the fire of sense organ and ultimately it reaches the devata called mind. Thereby, what happens? It becomes offered unto Bhagavan in the form of consciousness. Therefore, there rises sparsha, there rises that given jnanam, shabda jnanam, sparsha jnanam, rupa jnanam, you know, rasa jnanam, gandha jnanam. So knowledge of all different objects, knowledge rises. Knowledge of given object rises. Therefore, ultimately, the receiver of objects, the perceiver of the objects is the receiver of objects, and even though Atma is not the perceiver, not the receiver, but there's no receiver or perceiver other than the Atma, and Atma is the word implying the reality, which is Bhagavan obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. Therefore, all the sense objects are offered into the fire of sense organs, ultimately reach Bhagavan in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. You know, thereby the knowledge rises. See here, the second line of this 26th verse, perception of objects itself is likened to a fire ritual. It is a very, very beautiful and sensitive thing that the attitude is completely different. So perception is likened to a ritual. Every day you get up in the morning, imagine. You don't need to do anything. You get up in the morning, you know, you rub your eyes and you open your eyes, or you see the world. When you see the world, what is happening? Perception. Your eyes are perceiving the light and forms. Your hearing power is perceiving the sounds. And when you're eating, your tongue is perceiving, through the tongue you're perceiving the taste. Every time the sense organ, any sense organ coming in contact with its corresponding object is called perception of objects. And the perception itself is likened to a fire ritual, which is a worship. See, perceiving the world of objects is worship. Isn't it an amazing thing? Perceiving the world is worship. Enjoying the world is worship. So perception of the world is worship. Which means, already there is a subtle way of resolving individuality in Bhagavan, the total. So I am the perceiver, the world is perceived is not there. You know why? What this perception is taking place is all Bhagavan. All the sense objects are offered. Means what? You don't say I am offering. There are sense objects, there are sense powers, and the waking state, there's a mind, and you don't need to do anything. Say, sense organs are open means sense objects are perceived. Then constantly knowledge takes place. You don't have any say over here. Sense objects are there, sense powers are there, and perception takes place. As a result, knowledge takes place. What is this? This is offering. What is offered is sense objects. Offered into the fire of sense organs. Ultimately, the receiver is Bhagavan. Therefore, it is all what? Worship. Another way of looking at it. So, the first line, we see Dhamaha as the worship. The second line, we see the very perception which takes place in the waking state is also worship. The question is what? How can we convert our perception of the world, perception of sense objects, or experience of the day waking state? How can we say the entire waking state experience is worship? Because here, what am I here? Sense objects are there. I don't create them. And they're perceived. Because sense organs are there. So there, it is like sense organs are like the sense power, the fire. The sense objects which are perceived, which go through sense organs, are looked upon as is oblations. So the oblations in the form of sense objects offered into the fire of sense powers ultimately are received by what? Bhagavan in the form of myself, the consciousness. Now the whole thing is what? If you look at everything like this, there's no I, there's no word, and this is worship. So perception of objects itself is likened to an worship. It's an oblation. Fire, yajna. So here we talk about yajna means there must be oblation, there must be fire into which it is offered, and there must be the one who ultimately receives. You see the whole thing as yajna, this second line of the 26th verse. Okay. 27th verse. Sarvanindriya karmani prana karmani chapare atma sayama yoga agno juhvati jnana deepite sarvanindriya karmani prana karmani chapare ఆత్మసంయమ యోగాగ్నౌ జుహ్వతి జ్ఞాన దీపితే. సో హియర్ ది ప్రీవియస్ వర్స్ వి సా ద వర్డ్ అన్యే అదర్స్. సి అన్య అన్యౌ అన్యే అండ్ హియర్ నౌ యు సీ అపరే చ అపరే చాపరే. సో అపరే మీన్స్ అదర్ పీపుల్ అదర్స్. సి అపరహ సింగులర్ అపరహ అదర్ పర్సన్ అపరౌ అదర్ టూ పీపుల్ అపరే నాట్ అపరాహ ఓకే అపరే అదర్స్ ప్లూరల్ అపరహ అపరౌ అపరే అపరే means other people apare. What do they do apare? Prana karmani sarvani indriya karmani prana karmani cha juhvati. See apare సర్వాణి ఆల్ ఇంద్రియ కర్మాణి ప్రాణకర్మాణి చ జుహ్వతి. అదర్స్ ఆఫర్ వాట్ డు అదర్స్ ఆఫర్ కర్మాణి విచ్ కర్మాణి ఇస్ యు హ్యావ్ టు లెర్న్ ఇన్ ది క్లాస్ నకారాంత నపుంసకలింగ కర్మన్ శబ్ద కర్మన్ స నకారాంత నకారాంత నపుంసకలింగ కర్మన్ శబ్ద. యు హ్ టుడే దిస్ మార్నింగ్ యు లర్న్డ్ నకారాంత నకారాంత పుల్లింగ శబ్ద యు లర్న్డ్ but this is napumsakalinga shabda karman and karma in plural karmani because a neuter gender word you learn anyway don't worry we were going to see next class so karmani actions apare karmani juhvati others offer actions activities what activities indriya karmani prana karmani others offer indriya karmani and prana karmani indriya karmani cha prana karmani juhvati. So sarvani indriya karmani prana karmani cha apare juhvati. Okay, the ke juhvati apare juhvati అపరే కాని జుహ్వతి అపరే ప్రాణకర్మాణి సర్వాణి ఇంద్రియకర్మాణి ప్రాణకర్మాణి చ జుహ్వతి. కస్మిన్ జుహ్వతి కుత్ర జుహ్వతి వేర్ డు ది ఆఫర్ ఆఫర్ అండ్ టు వాట్ అగ్నౌ ఇన్ ది ఫైర్ ఇన్ టు ద ఫైర్ అన్ టు ద ఫైర్ ఇన్ ది ఫైర్. ది ఫైర్ మీన్స్ విచ్ ఫైర్ నాట్ రియల్ ఫైర్. ఆత్మ సంయమ యోగ అగ్నౌ ఆత్మ సంయమ యోగాగ్నౌ జ్ఞాన దీపితే ఆత్మ సంయమ యోగాగ్నౌ జుహ్వతి. సో దే ఆఫర్ ఆల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆల్ ది ఫంక్షన్స్ దే ఆఫర్ ఆల్ ది ఇన్వాలంటరీ ఫంక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఆల్సో ది ఆర్గన్ ఫిజియలాజికల్ ఫంక్షన్స్ which means all the functions must be happening only then life is possible. And here atma sanyama yoga agnau atma sanyamaha means again here it is not simply sanyamaha means mastery over. ఆత్మ సంయమ యోగాగ్ని మీన్స్ వి సే సెల్ఫ్ రెస్ట్రెయిన్ యు కెన్ సే It is the mental discipline. The mental discipline. Here the word Atma does not mean the Atma. Atma here means the mind. Atma Sanyama Yoga. Atma Sanyamaha. Otherwise, Shamaha. So they offer all these functions into under the fire of self-mastery. Self-mastery means not mastery over the Atma. Self-mastery here means mastery over one's own mind. So the, all these functions are the oblations, physiological functions, and all the functions of sense organs, organs of actions, all the subtle powers, functions of the subtle powers and physiological functions. All these functions are the oblations and they're offered into the fire of self-mastery. And self-mastery means mastery over one's own mind. So self-mastery means mastery over one's own mind. So, your person should be able to off, you know, if all the functions which are happening within, inside the physical body, okay, the sense power, the functions of the sense organs, the functions of organs of actions, and the physiological functions, if all these functions are offered unto the fire of self-mastery, means it is possible only when the mind has what? Viveka, understanding. Therefore, jnana deepite. Deepitam means kindled. Deepita is the participle. Okay? Deepita. So, jnana deepite means what? Kindled. Okay? By knowledge. Because agno, the fire of self-mastery, kindled by knowledge, the fire of self-mastery, means the fire of mastery over one's own mind, the fire of self-mastery, kindled by knowledge, and into that fire, all the functions are offered. This is another yajna, other worship. So in this whole verse, this literal meaning, you have seen the literal meaning now. So we have already seen, in the first we saw, Deta Yajna. Then we saw, Brahma Yajna. We saw Indriya Sanyama Yajna. Then we saw Vishayarpana Yajna. Or you can say Vishaya Nigraha Yajna. So Devata Yajna, Brahma Yajna, Indriya Sanyama Yajna, Vishaya Nigraha Yajna. We have seen four. Now in the fifth, now in the 27th verse, we are seeing a different one, which is a fifth ritual, fifth form of worship. What is it here? Atma Sanyama Yajna. Here the word Atma means mind. And Sanyamaha means mastery. So mastery over one's own mind is called Atma Sanyamaha, and which means a mental discipline. Okay, and having mastery over mind is more difficult thing. having mastery over sense organs is also difficult, but is better than this mastery over one's mind. Because you can use your willpower whenever you don't want to see or hear or smell or taste certain things, and you can manage to take attention, withdraw your sense organs from those objects. You can withdraw. You can close your eyes. Block your ears. You can avoid. But here, when you say mental discipline, it involves effort. If we have mastery over mind, if a person is given to practice mental discipline, definitely Bhagavan says it will be all the subtle 10 powers, all the 10 powers, 5 sense powers, and 5 powers of organs of actions, jnana indriyani, karma indriyani, totally 10 powers. And all the sense objects and also all the 5 subtle, not only said the 10, the powers, all the sense powers, sense objects, also sense, all the powers, the powers of organs of actions, 5. And our physiological functions, all of them here, all of them become offered unto the fire of self-mastery. Which means, if a person knows the value of values, value of dharma, then even if the diseases come, they impel him to do something, to see something, to do something, then still one can use one's will and one can withdraw oneself from doing the wrong actions. Okay, one can you make use of your willpower and urge of right and wrong to do the right, to refrain from the wrong. In using all this, if a person is committed to dharma, only by being committed to level of dharma, one can have mastery over one's mind. So self-mastery is the most difficult thing. Why? Because without self-mastery is possible only when a person commits himself to live a life of dharma. Okay? And for which a person should know the value of dharma. Therefore, shamaha, the mastery over one's mind, implies one having, one being given to live a life of dharma. One must have, it means one must offer one's will to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. Then the person's actions are not governed by his likes and dislikes. All his actions are not controlled by his likes and dislikes. All his actions are governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. Which means all his sense powers, all his powers of organs of actions, all their activities, all their functions, all of them become offered unto the fire of self-mastery. Which implies the commitment to live a life of dharma. Okay. So we have seen until now five rituals. Atma Sanyama Yajnaha, otherwise called Shamaha or Shantihi. Now, okay. Dravya Yajnastapo Yajnaha. Dravya Yajnastapo Yajnaha. Yoga Yajnastatha Pare. Swadhyaya Jnana Yajnascha. Yatayasamshitavrataha. Dravya Yajnastapo Yajnaha. Yoga Yajnastatha Pare. Swadhyaya Jnana Yajnascha. Yatayasamshitavrataha. Now Krishna concludes here, brings about many of the disciplines. Here, Dravya Yajnaha. Tapo Yajnaha. Yoga Yajnaha. Swadhyaya Yajnaha. Jnana Yajnaha. So, Dravya Yajnaha, Tapo Yajnaha, Yoga Yajnaha, Swadhyaya Yajnaha, Jnana Yajnaha. So, he brings about few more worships, few more yajnas in this, he mentions in this verse. So yajnaha literally means an worship which is a symbolic act of offering. Generally we offer oblations into the fire, and here any discipline practiced for preparing the mind for knowledge is known as spiritual discipline, which is called yajnaha. So in this context, the word yajnaha, which means worship, which actually means worship, here indicates any discipline practiced for preparing the mind for knowledge. The other way is called a spiritual discipline. Shouldn't forget this. And here, see, apare, we can see apare, yatayaha, samshita vrataha yatayaha. Apare here means others. Others means who are they? We say yatayaha. Remember the word yatihi. Yatihi means what? Yatna shilaha yatihi. The person of adequate, appropriate efforts is called yatihi. Sannyasi is also called yatihi. You know, a karma yogi is also can be said the yatihi. But here yatihi means yatna shilaha. Yatna shilaha means the person of appropriate, adequate efforts. And yatihi is ikaranta pullinga shabdaha. Ever yatihi, yatihi, yatayaha. Yatayaha, plural word. Plural word here. Yatayaha. All those people who are purushartanischeha or committed to the pursuit of knowledge, thereby who are given to the appropriate, adequate efforts, who make possible efforts to prepare their mind for jnana, who are striving to make all possible efforts to attain jnana, to prepare their mind for jnana, called yatayaha. And these yatayaha, who are they? ಸಂಶಿತವ್ರತಾಹ ನೋ ವ್ರತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಲಿಟ್ರಲಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಅ ವೌ ಅಂಡ್ ಶಂಸಿತ ವ್ರತ ಸಂಶಿತ ವ್ರತ ಸಂಶಿತ ವ್ರತಾಹ ದೀಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ appropriate adequate efforts samshita vrataha they have strong vows they men people of applaudable vows which means what they have firm resolve They are of firm resolve. Firm. And those people they are here Dravya Yajnaha does not mean the Yajnaha is singular only. But Dravya Yajnaha does not mean the Yajna here. We mean the people who are given to the charitable activities. People who are given to the charitable activities, who involve themselves in charitable activities are said to be Dravya Yajnaha. So Dravya Dhanameva Yajnaha. Dravya Dhanam. It means who share the wealth, who give the wealth, who offer their wealth, who are generous, who are magnanimous, who are charitable. Therefore, Dravya Yajna, I mean the people, for them giving is the Yajna. Sharing their wealth, possessions is Yajna. Therefore, people who give what they possess, what they have in charity for who are charitable. And even the giving is what? Sharing is a worship. Therefore, Dravya Yajnaha means we are not people who are involved in the form of worship of giving. They are called Dravya Yajnaha. Giving is the worship. For whom giving is the worship? Who are given to the worship in the form of giving are called Dravya Yajnaha. Then, so we're talking about other people. There are many other people who are very, very firm in what they want, what they are following and achieving. People of very firm resolve and who are generous, thereby for whom giving is the worship. They are called Dravya Yajnaha. And Stapo Yajnaha. And there are people who strictly follow the religious disciplines. The religious discipline, of course, already so many things, religious disciplines only. There are many other religious disciplines, you know, okay, like, no, you know, tapaha. Okay, I like coffee very much. I want 3 cups of coffee. No, I'm not going to give coffee today. You know, so willful self-denial of certain things, you know, is called tapaha. Tapas. And they practice this for what? To prepare their mind for jnana. Okay, if I think I cannot live without this, I see that I will live without this. I cannot manage without this, I try to manage without that. This is called what? Willful self-denial of certain comforts and things. It is not that one should really deprive oneself of, not depriving, punish, it's not a punishment. You yourself willfully deny enjoying certain comforts. It's called tapaha. So tapas is akarantar apusakalinga shabdaha, which means a willful self-denial of certain comforts and things like that. And people, there are people who seriously, who are seriously given to the practice of this tapas, which is a spiritual discipline. And a spiritual discipline in terms of tapas is called austerity or penance. And okay, tapas means austerity or penance, which means a willful self-denial of certain comforts, etc. And people who are given to the practice of this austerity or penance are said to be tapoyajnaha. Why? Practicing this tapas, practicing the austerity itself is worship. Therefore, tapoyajnaha means what? People who have practice of austerity as worship are called tapoyajnaha. Tapas is worship. Practicing the austerity is worship. And they are called tapoyajnaha. So those people for whom giving itself is worship, sharing is worship, sharing their wealth is worship, they are called dravyajnaha. And people who, for whom practicing this penance or religious discipline in terms of austerity is worship, they are called tapoyajnaha. Then yoga yajnaha. I'll explain this again. So that people who are, for whom yoga is a worship. What is yoga here? We'll see that. Then swadhyaya yajnaha. So swadhyayaha means study of the Veda mantras, means being given to the discipline of repeating and memorizing the Veda mantras is called swadhyayaha. Okay. See, swadhyayaha is a discipline being given to which a person repeatedly listens, repeats and memorizes the Veda mantras. So learning to chant and memorize the Veda mantras is called swadhyayaha. And there are people who are given to the discipline of swadhyaya, and the swadhyaya itself is what? A worship for them. And similarly, jnana yajnaha means repeatedly listening to the unfoldment of the Vedantic teaching itself is worship. Listening to the unfoldment of the words of scriptures is called jnana yajnaha. Like this, here we are not talking about the yajna. We have different other people who are given to the different strictly these disciplines, and all of them, whatever they do, is a yajna. So we'll see them detail here. So here, if we see carefully, dravya yajna, tapo yajna. When you say yajna, it means the people who are given to the disciplines. But like, if we take it as is now, dravya yajnaha, tapo yajnaha, yoga yajnaha, swadhyaya yajnaha, jnana yajnaha. There are five yajnas, five worships, which means So Bhagavan mentions here five yajnas. And each yajna is what? Nothing but a discipline practiced ultimately for preparing one's mind for jnanam. Therefore, these fivefold factors are said to be five spiritual disciplines. And what is dravya yajna? I already explained to you. Dravyam means wealth. Dravya yajna means actually the worship in the form of giving, sharing is called dhanam. Giving itself is a worship, therefore it's called a dravya yajna. Dravyasya dana yajna. So one can give anything. Dravya means anything which is shareable. So one can give time to other person. One can give money. One can give anything else. One can give some help in kind. So help can be given in any form. So that is, you know, also one can share one what one has. Therefore, this is dana yajna. And then sharing, giving is very, very, very important discipline, respect in the Shastram, because for a person to see the whole world as one's own self, you know, one should see every life is like every one's own life. Then one can magnanimously give and help, share. Therefore, for mental expansion, dhanam is also, even if I cannot give, I don't want to give, at least I force myself to give because it's an important discipline. Okay? By forcing myself to give, at least heartlessly I start giving, thereby I have to develop the habit of giving. It's very difficult for me to give and share. If I cannot give at all, I have to develop this habit of giving and sharing by forcing myself to give something. Gradually giving and giving and giving, I have to develop this. No, this is very important. Even giving a simple act, we may think, oh, I'm doing big help. No, I'm not giving this. I'm thinking that I'm doing a very big help. When I give, the how we should, dhanam should be given. There's a beautifully explained Taittiriya Upanishad. Kriya deyam, bhiya deyam, samvida deyam. Therefore, we'll see the Taittiriya Upanishad class, we'll explain to you. Even giving also how it should be given. That's a different thing. But anyway, here, let us take it, understand this much now. How we should give is a different thing. But giving, sharing wholeheartedly what I have, what is possible on my part with the people who are really needy. The dhanam itself is a discipline. It becomes a discipline. It becomes when? Only when Purushartha Nischaya is there. Without Purushartha Nischaya, without knowing the value of knowledge, whatever I give, it is a punya karma, I can earn punyam. But with the Purushartha Nischaya, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, if I do anything to anybody, it becomes a discipline because it's going to contribute for my mental preparedness required for jnanam. So when does an action become a discipline? When act of giving becomes a discipline, a preparatory discipline, only when I do it with the Purushartha Nischaya. So if a person has that, then that is itself is a yajna. Giving is worship. Dravya yajna. If we quickly finish, I know it's time. Give me 2 minutes, I'll finish this at least. Dravya yajna, then tapo yajna, tapas is also yajna. Tapo yajna, yoga yajna, swadhyaya yajna, jnana yajna. There are 5 yajnas. So really, It is not a fire ritual, but all these actions, all of them become disciplines. They're called spiritual discipline. It's an act of offering. It becomes a worship. And I had explained to you what is Jnana Yajna. Explained what is Yoga Yajna. What is Tapo Yajna. I've explained only one Yajna, which is Dana Yajna, which is a Dravya Yajna. Sharing, giving. And the rest I had to explain. I think I need more time. I'll do it next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.